Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all. Yesterday, in our study of Revelation chapter 21, we were taught that the people we turn to righteousness are not only those that are saved as a direct result of our witness, but also all of those we have been a witness to. Let's continue with that thought today. And now, here is our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
And they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Now let me say this. Turning many to righteousness is not how many you got saved and did you use a good method in your witness and presenting the plan of salvation. No. It's turning people to salvation. It's witnessing the gospel to them, turning them to righteousness. It's not your method that saves them. It's the faith that saves through Jesus Christ. It's the blood of Jesus that saves. You turn them to righteousness, but they still have the free will. They make a decision to either accept or reject. But in that you turn them to righteousness, those that turn many to righteousness shall shine as the stars forever and ever. Then talks about brightness, and brightness is associated with glory in heaven. Now, I don't know how that is. I really don't. But evidently, it is such that we see that people actually just fall down on their face when they see a great brightness. I think of back in the years when John Wesley was alive and George Whitefield. And Whitefield was a Calvinist and Wesley was Arminian and great men of God. Boy, they had a great difference there in those two issues. And somebody asked Whitefield one day, do you think that you'll see John Wesley in heaven? He said, no, I don't. That kind of surprised the other person. He says, well, why don't you? He says, because that man is so close to God, I believe that the glory will shine so brightly, I won't be able to see him. Boy, what an answer that was. And that's just an illustration of how great the glory of this place is. And it's something that is great in heaven. Again, I don't understand it, but I believe it. I believe it. And that's all that's important is that it's true. The Bible says it, so it's right. The concept of glory throughout Scripture, and particularly as it pertains to God, is that of brilliant light. You read Ezekiel chapter 1, and you see that throne, and you see that idea there. The jasper stone, as it mentions here, it's not linked to one particular hue or color. It's found in a rainbow of hues. What may be in mind is the brilliance of a pure diamond, clear as crystal, yet light passes through it with a rainbow of hues refracted through it, kind of like a prism. And when light shines through a prism, it makes all those beautiful colors, and I believe that that's kind of the idea that is here. The eye looking upward from earth sees a brightness much more bright, seven times brighter than the sun, and shining out in a variety of bright, glistening hues. And it won't be just like looking at a diamond and seeing the various little colors on it on somebody's finger. Oh, no. This is a great city. And let's look at verses 12 and 13 as it gives a description here of the gates here in Revelation 21. He says, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates. And at the gates, 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east, 3 gates. On the north, three gates. On the south, three gates. And on the west, three gates. So they give a description here of the gates. Now, I like what Henry Morris points out in his notes, that the description of this glorious city is too detailed to admit anything but a literal interpretation. Now, there have been many that have made efforts to try to spiritualize this interpretation away and make it some kind of a spiritual abode only and nothing physical. I can remember being in Israel and being at the Institute, the Temple Institute, where they're actually making the priestly robes, the golden censer, the altar, and all the other items for the new temple that they want to build. And they've pretty well made these all these items. And I asked them, I says, now some people say, y'all know where the ark is, and some say you don't. I says, now, my question is that even if you find it or not, when the Messiah comes back that you're looking for to come, will this ark be as important as the Ark of Heaven, after which it was patterned? And they come alive on that one. They told me, look, heaven is all spiritual. It's all spiritual. They don't have animate objects there. There's no physical objects. Everything is spirit. Now, I found that interesting because even in their Old Testament scriptures, Job tells us that he knew that although the skin worms would destroy his body, that in his flesh at the latter days that he would see God. In his flesh he'd see God. And that's why the Jews, the religious Jews, were so upset and tried to pay the guards to say that his disciples stole his body at the resurrection. Because the resurrection, a literal physical resurrection, went against their belief. It destroyed their belief system. That's why the Apostle Paul, before he was saved, went around and hauled these people off into jail, beat them, and would consent to their killing. Because he believed a resurrection is only something spiritual, not physical. And so the physical resurrection and a new and glorified body was something that was way out there as far as they were concerned, but the resurrection of Christ brought that all about. Now, we're going to see later that these walls here are squared. There are three gates on each side with the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel on them. Some think we're not going to be one-fold, as Ephesians states. Now, why would this city that they think is only for the New Testament era, why would they think that God has placed the names of the 12 tribes on the gates of this glorious city? You see, my friend, the city is composed of believers from both the Old and the New Testaments. God would not have two wives. He calls Israel his wife in Hosea chapter 2, as well as the church. Jesus said in John chapter 10 and verse 16 that he'd make them one fold. And so, my friend, this eternal city will be for all those believers from the beginning until this time in our Word of God. And then that takes us to verse 14. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And by the way, now, when I say to this time the Word of God, I'm talking about the end there of the tribulation period, not the new group that is born in the time of the millennium. Now, the wall of the city, we look here in verse 14 where it says, and the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. So, this same city that has the 12 tribes on the gates now has the names of the 12 apostles on the foundations, showing us the New Testament believers well. And since they can see the foundations from a high mountain, he's looking up, and he sees this glorious city whose builder and maker is God. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 10 says about Abraham, "For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God." And that takes into looking at the measuring of this city. We see that in verses 15 through 18. "And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city and the gates thereof and the wall thereof. And the city lieth four square, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal." That's important. I'll show you why in a little bit. "And he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto a clear glass." Now, the word translated furlongs here in this verses here, Revelation 21, verses 15 through 18, is from a Greek unit of measure. This measure has been estimated to be anywhere from 582 feet to 600 feet or even longer in length. I've read estimates, and the estimates of this has really just varied. And so I can't say with certainty the exact measurement in miles, but the estimates have been anywhere from 1,350 miles to 1,600 miles squared. More of them get closer to 1,500 miles, so we could even take that as a little more certain, but I don't know that. Now, I've seen this in books, and I had a teacher that told us that this city is pyramid-shaped, coming down from God. But what did verse 16 tell us? It's four square, the length as large as the breadth, and the length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. So it's four squared. And it can't be pyramid-shaped if it's four squared. The scripture is clear that it's four squared, meaning it's as wide at the top as it is at the bottom. Now, the pyramid shape reminds us of the towers that were being built at Babel. And those type of pyramids have an association with paganism. Now, to bring it down to my thinking about the size of this city, it would be close to being the size of a building that reached from the Atlantic coast to Denver, Colorado, and from somewhere near Maine to down into Florida. We could easily say that it would be at least 6,000 times taller than the world's tallest building.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No breaks. Click Sermon Library. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no breaks. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.